Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All right, welcome, welcome, everybody. This is our seven-day revival, and it is the last seven-day revival. Tonight's speaker is going to be Evangelist Cheryl Johnson, and her word is going to be, Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do. Okay, and coming in with our opening prayer is going to be Mother Janice Hudson. So, Mother Janice Hudson, please open us up in a word of prayer.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I come to you as humble as I know how. Thank you, Father. Please, please, Father God, please heal the sin-sick souls, Lord. Lord, let evangelist's voice go over the airways and let her bring some lost souls into your kingdom, Lord. Lord, just cover PKN, Lord Jesus, with your mighty blood. And, Lord, I just ask you to humble each and every one that's on here tonight and let their voice be heard through you, Lord. And it's in your mighty name, Jesus Christ, I pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
All right, all right. Tonight's opening prayer was done by Mother Janice Hudson and introducing Evangelist Cheryl Johnson. And before we introduce her, we're going to just let you know a little bit of something about Evangelist Cheryl Johnson. Evangelist Cheryl Johnson is president and founder of Women in the Word Ministries, located in Ballard, Kenwood, PA, and has been operating since 1999. And a little further in the program, we'll give you some more information about Women in the Word Ministries. And right now, we're going to introduce Evangelist Cheryl Johnson. Evangelist Cheryl Johnson.
Amen. God bless you, my brother, and God bless you, Mother Janice Hudson. I praise the Lord for both of you. Praise the Lord for Pastor Toy, who has given me the opportunity to share the word of God this morning and this evening, and to open up the seven-day revival that the Lord has placed in her spirit to do. And so without further ado, we're going to get into the word of God, and we're going to be focusing on forgiveness. And so I turn your attention to one of the last seven utterances from the cross that Jesus spoke. And we'll find this in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. And there you will find these words. That passage of scripture says, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, parted his raiment, and cast lots." The word of God for the people of God to glorify God. And we're just going to focus on forgiveness. That's a mighty large topic, and certainly a most important one when it comes down to our relationship with a God who thought it not robbery to sacrifice himself for us, for the forgiveness of our sins through his shed blood. And certainly, that is number one with a bullet, that item called or topic called forgiveness, that we are expected to be able to minister or shell it out to others when we are the victim. And certainly, we should be able to ask for forgiveness when we are the perpetrator. But we're talking about this wonderful topic of forgiveness, which is certainly one of the hardest things that we can do, because there are so many things that seem to get in the way of us offering this forgiveness. And we're going to look at some of the things even on this evening. even on this evening. When we look at this scripture in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, our immediate response or our immediate investigation or observation is that we believe that he's praying for the immediate, unconditional, indiscriminate forgiveness of everyone who participated in Jesus' crucifixion. And that, even though that's a fair assessment, don't think we do that scripture justice if we only look at it with on the surface or with the shallow eye. It is much, much deeper than that. Jesus utters these words as he's hanging on a cross between two criminals, one on his left and one on his right. That is what the scripture tells us in verse 33, just above my opening scripture. And when they come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. With all those things that were happening around Jesus, he chose that time to demonstrate how to ask for forgiveness. And he did it with a plea on behalf of who, really? That's the question. But the first thing that I noticed was Jesus's technique. Just let's look at this piece by piece, line by line, precept by precept. Father, forgive them. There's a semicolon right there. Father, forgive them. First, he petitions God the Father. Why? The offense was not just against Jesus himself, but it was deeper than that. It was a direct rebellion against God the Father himself. For God sent his Son, amen, to redeem man back unto himself, and man rejected God's Son. The Word of God tells us he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So this plea, this petition that Jesus is uttering at this moment, saying, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Certainly, that's the right way to begin to ask for sincere forgiveness, is go to God and ask for forgiveness. I think David got it right when he prayed in Psalm 51:4, against you only and you only have I sinned. There, he's acknowledging his rebellion against God. There, he's acknowledging his sin against God. And we all know the story about David and Bathsheba and how David manipulated and maneuvered so that eventually Uriah gets killed and Bathsheba is then taken by David to bear the child and all of that, and Nathan the prophet comes to David and gives him this story, this parable, that what would you do if someone only had a one ewe lamb and that's all they had, and that person that ewe lamb was taken away and killed and all of that. And David said, well, you know, I would kill that man, I would do this, I would do that. And Nathan said, David, thou art the man. You have been Uriah's wife, and she is now pregnant with your child, and you have had Uriah killed. Uh-huh. Yeah. And so with David being faced with that reality, that's where he begins to make his plea for forgiveness to God the Father in Psalm 51. And there he says, against you only have I sinned. There he acknowledges his rebellion against God. There he acknowledges his sin. And he realized that only God can forgive sin. For why? God is the righteous judge who has the authority, the only authority, to pardon, to judge and to pardon, should I say. And so here we have Jesus on the cross praying in this order, in this particular petition, Father, forgive them, telling us how to forgive. How do we ignite? How do we start this forgiveness thing? First, we need to go to God the Father and ask for forgiveness. Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. But then my second question was, well, who is the them? The them that Jesus is talking about. Father, forgive them. That them represents more than Jesus' accusers who had him arrested. That them represents more than those trumped-up charges that they plagued Jesus with and ushering him from judgment hall to judgment hall in the dead of night. And finally, he ends up with Pilate who passes a death sentence on him through the pressure of the crowd, I might add. The them were more than the soldiers who beat Jesus with 39 stripes and placed a crown of thorns on his head and a purple robe on his bloody and battered body. We see that referenced in John chapter 19, verse 2. And they mock him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. The them was more than the chief priests and officials shouting, Crucify him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. The them was more than those who nailed him to the cross and hoisted him up there to die. The them was more than the crowd who jeered and taunted Jesus while he hung on the Christ, on the cross. No. It's more to the them than those things that I just spoke about. But that them also covers futuristically everyone who would repent of their sins and forget and confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. That word repent there means to ask for forgiveness, to admit that you are wrong and God is right, and it also involves you turning away from that sin and turning toward God, who is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, not just the present offenders who were there at the crucifixion, but also for those who are to come. Father, forgive them. But look at the rest of the scripture. Look at the rest of the scripture. The rest of the scripture says, For they know not what they do. They know not what they do. Well, it stands to reason that if Jesus' oppressors had believed that Jesus was sent from God, and truly the Son of God, they would not have crucified him. Even Paul references this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, where he pens, Which none of the princesses of the world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Surely we can say that the oppressors and the participants in the crucifixion didn't know what they were doing. But again, let's look a little more deeply at this portion of Scripture, and let's look at it in the light of unforgiveness. We don't know what we're doing when we don't forgive. Or should I say, we may not be aware of what unforgiveness does to us. Get a few for instances. We don't realize how unforgiveness grieves the Holy Spirit. When we grieve the Holy Spirit, we open up ourselves to bitterness. We open ourselves up to anger. We open ourselves up to evil speaking or slander, if you will. When we grieve the Holy Spirit, we push down the essence of God and the purity of heart of God in the heart of the believer, in our hearts. When we harbor this unforgiveness, it begins to crowd out, and then things seep in that are unsavory, not God-like. Follow me here. Unforgiveness breeds bitterness. every time that person shows up, every time you think of that event that offended you, every time you get this tightness in your chest, this sour taste in your mouth, your eyebrows arch up and you get this frown on your face and you began to boil on the inside, every time unforgiveness breeds this bitterness in you. And this bitterness boils over into anger. How dare they show up? How dare they be here? Don't they know they offended me? I'm not going to let them off the hook for this. Like you're a judge. But you're not. Because earlier, remember we said, the only righteous judge is God. But unforgiveness puts you in control. And you feel as though that you have a right to hold that person hostage. And you have a right to impart the sentence. And you have a right to pass judgment because that person offended you. That's what unforgiveness does. It grieves the Holy Spirit within you and causes you to be bitter and to be full of anger. And then how about this? Evil speaking, the Bible talks about. What is that? That's slander. You begin to build and build on that story and embellish more on that story. And the more you think about it and the more you embellish the facts or muddy the waters, shall I say, the more angry you get and the more bitter you get and you don't know what you're doing. And what you're doing is you're sowing seeds of bitterness and seeds of anger and seeds of slander, and you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Jesus got it right when he says, you don't know what you're doing. How about this? We don't know what we're doing when we don't forgive because we hold our own selves hostage. Our own self. So we think we have that person on lockdown. We think we have that person all hemmed up. We think we have that person that offend us on the excruciating side of that pendulum. But the truth be known, you're holding your own self in hostage. You're the one that's getting upset every time that person shows up. You're the one who's having a hard way to go every time you think about that offense. You're the one that has yourself on lockdown because you won't forgive. We don't know doing it until that person crosses our path. And then that offense is replayed in our mind again and again and again. And then those chains of bitterness and anger and slander grip us. And we realize we're in bondage because we won't forgive. Yet Jesus said, forgive them. Why? Because they don't know what we're doing. We don't know that we're doing that to ourselves. We don't know that we're grieving the Holy Spirit. We don't know that we're holding ourselves in bondage. We don't know this also, or we don't realize that unforgiveness can spread like a cancer, giving way not just to bitterness and anger and slander, but how about this? It'll move itself into something called wrath. That's extreme anger. And you get boisterous and you get unruly, and then it leads itself into something called malice. What is malice? Is the desire to injure, the desire to cross distress in another person. And when you harbor unforgiveness, it begins to build and build and eat away like a cancer, and it leads from bitterness and anger and slander to more unsavory things like wrath and clamor and malice. And surely but slowly, it separates us from showing the love, the kindness, and compassion of God. We have to forgive. We don't know what we're doing when we don't forgive. When we don't forgive, it hinders our prayers. Oh, yeah. I'm talking right. It hinders our prayers because our heart is not sincere. It's not clean. It's not cleansed. It's not pure. because we're harboring unforgiveness. The question of the Bible was, well, how can you say you love God, but you can't stand the person that you see every day? Well, unforgiveness gets you into a point where you can't stand to see that person in your presence. And you expect God is not listening so much to your words that you speak to him in prayer, but he's looking at your heart, and he's looking at the sincerity in your heart. And when you harbor unforgiveness in your heart, you hinder prayers to God, and you hinder your relationship with God. God wants us to forgive. He wants us to forgive. Even Jesus said this, that if you don't forgive, then your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. That's harsh. And there's a lot to that, and I wish I had time to unpack that. But I want us to focus on the fact that Jesus said prophetically, Father, forgive them. Why? Because they don't know what they're doing. And again, it's more than just the surface of saying he's talking to his oppressors and he's talking to those on the crucifixion strike and he's talking to all of those that put him on the cross. No, he's talking to us as well. Father, telling us how we can begin to start this forgiveness wheel turning by going to God the Father and asking for forgiveness. And the reason why we need to ask for this forgiveness, because we don't know or we don't recognize what unforgiveness does to us. It causes us to be in bondage. It causes us to grow, to sow seeds of bitterness and of anger and of slander. It causes us to create this cancer that will eventually eat away at our heart and move us into wrath and move us into clamor and move us into malice. It causes us to have a severed relationship with a loving and compassionate God. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus prayed for our forgiveness so that we could in turn learn to forgive. How do we learn to forgive? Or what's the motivating factor other than this is what we're supposed to do? Well, how about if we start remembering it was because of Jesus that God has forgiven us? Yeah. See, Jesus was the only perfect sacrifice which was acceptable in God's eyes. He was the propitiation or satisfaction for our sin. When we look in the book of Hebrews around chapter 9, I'm going to turn to that really quickly because I think it's important that we talk about that for just a quick sentence, second. And we look at verse 26. It says, For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 puts it this way, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Jesus, our perfect sacrifice, our propitiation for our sins, Jesus, God gave us Jesus in order for him to satisfy the sin issue, which would allow God in turn to forgive us. And in other words, God the Father, here it is, showed his forgiveness by, here it is, sacrificing his son for us. Sacrificing his son for us. What am I driving at? I'm driving at this. Forgiveness is a sacrifice. A sacrifice is something that you give up. It's hard to give it up. It's not easy to do. But you do it in spite of. And for God, he sacrifices Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, for us to initiate forgiveness, to show that he forgives. Look, here it is. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Someone had to die. And here it was. Jesus took our place. That should have been us. But Jesus took our place, gave himself his life, a ransom for many, the word of God says, so that God could forgive us for sins past, present, and future. He has demonstrated his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, sacrifice. And in that acceptance of that sacrifice of his Son was also the forgiveness of sin for us. Forgiveness is a sacrifice. It is hard to do, but it is necessary for us to do. The Bible says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So I'm suggesting we need God's help to truly, truly forgive. And I need to share something with you, and I'm speaking from experiential knowledge about this thing called forgiveness and about how necessary it is for us to do. I, one time, had not forgiven my father for the things that he had done in our families. I'm not going to go into all of the details. But I do know, and it happened at a very young age in our family, and the bottom line is that he disappears off the scene and leaves my mother with four children, a mortgage, no job. No one can find him. He just disappears off the scene, disconnects totally, the whole nine yards. A whole lot of trauma ensues behind that, and I grew up here at his bitter of my father, angry with my father, slanderous every time somebody asked me about him. All of those things and eating away at me for years. Amen. Look, just want to tell you something. Then one day, and the Lord said to me, because I had not forgiven him. As a matter of fact, I have kind of just told everybody, you know, he's dead, blah, blah, all of that. The Lord spoke to me. He said, Cheryl, how can you teach my word and how can you preach my word when my word clearly says, honor thy mother and thy father and thy day shall be long upon the earth, and you're not doing that. And I had the audacity to try to plead my case with God by saying, well, I don't honor my father because he did this and he did that and he didn't do this and he didn't do that. And I went on and on and on, and finally the Lord stopped me and said, Cheryl, my word says, without condition, it says, honor thy mother and thy father. It doesn't say honor them because they do right or because they do this or because they do that. It simply says, honor thy mother and thy father and thy day shall be long upon the earth. And Cheryl, you will not teach or preach another word till you do that. And I'm telling you, I was convicted. The God showed me, and I felt like David, when he said, against you only have I sinned. I had rebelled, not even knowing that I had done that. And so I went about rectifying that situation, and eventually I was able to locate him. The Lord allowed that to happen, and I wrote this letter because he refused to see me. So I wrote this letter to him, and I told him, and I asked him to forgive me, and I told him all of the things that was on my mind. And let me tell you, he read the letter. He got back in contact with me, and he said to me, in summary, he said, I should be asking you for forgiveness, and I'm just so sorry that it came down to that. You're asking me for forgiveness. Wow. That unforgiveness, that thing that I had built up, that cancer, next thing I know, that the floodgates of forgiveness came in and cleansed me, and there was such a release, such a burden lift off of my back. Actually, that happened after I wrote the letter and mailed it off, and I wasn't even really expecting a response. I just had to do what the Lord told me to do. What am I telling you? I'm telling you, like Jesus said, to forgive. And I didn't realize the burden that I had been carrying for years. My father left when I was about, I think it was 7. I didn't forgive him till I was in my late 20s, early 30s. That's a long time to be carrying around unforgiveness. That's a long time. Seeds of bitterness and of anger and all of those, that's a long time. And when the Lord addressed me with that and I was obedient to what the Lord was asking me to do, it freed me up. I had no idea I was so bound up. I had no idea I was so tied down. I had no idea. But I felt a release, a heavy burden lifted off of me when I asked for forgiveness. When I asked for forgiveness. And I truly needed God's help to let me see that I needed to ask for forgiveness. And it released me from that bondage. It cleansed my heart. I can identify with David when he said, creating me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Well, when I asked for forgiveness and I acted on that forgiveness, he created in me a clean heart and he renewed my spirit. I felt that joy again. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. It freed me up to show mercy, to show compassion, and to show love. And more importantly than all of that, the forgiveness allowed me to please God. What am I saying? When I look at this passage in Luke 23, verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That hits home for me. I had to go to God and ask him to forgive me for what I have done. And then I went about asking for forgiveness for my father. And I am so glad because my father passed away in 2021. But I was able to communicate with him and to establish a relationship for the last, I'll say, 10 or so years of his life. And I'm so glad that the Lord brought that to my attention and showed me what unforgiveness was doing in my life. And now, after he passed, we had a good relationship up to the day he passed away. And my heart is free. There's no guilt. There's no shame. There's no what ifs. No wanting to turn back the clock so that I can ask for forgiveness. That's off my plate. That's been off my plate. I praise the Lord for that. Someone needs to hear me today. Someone is holding someone hostage. Someone is holding themselves hostage because they won't forgive. I know they hurt you. I know the offense was great. I know it stings. I know, I know, I know, I know. I really do know. But I also know that we need to remember that Jesus has forgiven us. How about all the things we did to him? before we came to him? How about all the things that we do now that we're in him that doesn't necessarily please him, yet he forgives? Because if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm saying because Jesus forgave us, God sacrificed his son so the forgiveness could start, that cycle could start. We need to go to God and ask him and be honest. Let him know, it's hard, Lord. I have a hard time asking for forgiveness. I have a hard time giving this forgiveness. I have a hard time. Lord, help me. That's what David did. That's what I did. And the Lord helped me. And he gave me the release that I need. He can give you the release that you need as well. Ask God to help you forgive those who have offended you. It's important that we do that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. I want to read that. This will help us out as well. It says this. Beginning at verse 30, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." That's what unforgiveness does. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God. But we're told here, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Verse 31, "Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Those are all the things that unforgiveness harbors in your spirit. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice. But you can get rid of that by forgiving. Verse 32. "And be ye kind to one another." Tenderhearted, that means compassionate. "Forgiving one another." Here's the caveat. "Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Why should we forgive? Because God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Can we do this on our own? No, I believe we need the help of the Holy Spirit to do that, because some things we just can't seem to let go. But if we turn it over to God, he will strengthen us. He will soften our heart. He will give us a heart to want to forgive. And when we do forgive, he'll cleanse our heart. He'll renew that spirit of joy within us, and he'll give us what we need so that we be in right relationship with him again. Our prayers will definitely be heard again because our hearts have been cleansed from this thing called unforgiveness. Take it to the Lord in prayer and believe that he can help you with that. I don't know what they did to you. God does. I don't know how bad it hurt you, but God does. God is our deliverer. God is our healer. God is our comforter. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Ask him to help you with this unforgiving spirit that you have and watch him go to work in your life. Do what he says to do and feel that release, that bondage, that weight that's going to be lifted off of you because now you have forgiven that person, that offender. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We don't know what we do when we are unforgiving, but I listed a few things for us. And I just, This message was for me and for whoever else needed to know that God wants us to forgive. He also knows that it can be very difficult. But if we give it to him and we ask him, "Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew in me a right spirit," I'm going to do that for you, and you'll find out that when you do forgive, you'll be free up to be merciful, to be compassionate, and to express the love that God wants us to express. And we do that because God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. That's all I have. And I praise the Lord for that message. And I pray that someone hears and will move on what they've heard today and be free in Christ today to forgive. To forgive. It's a sacrifice. It is hard. But ask the Holy Spirit to help you with that. Ask God to help you with it. And I know that he will, because he's that kind of God. Jesus already prayed for us, because they don't know what they're doing. He already prayed for us, for those who would come to him and accept him as Lord and Savior. That would be those who have done that already. He's done that already. And so now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we now can forgive, just like God has forgiven us time and time and time again. Saints and friends of the Most High God, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening, Lord, for this word on forgiveness. It is hard to forgive, and Lord, only you can help us do that. I mean, truly forgive, not just say it in words, but really mean it in our heart. Because, Lord, you're looking for a sincere heart. You're looking for a pure heart. You're looking for a heart to shed the love, the compassion, the mercy. And we can only do that, Lord, when you enter in and when you cleanse us and when you search our hearts, Lord, and we give those things up and over to you. So my prayer today, Lord, is to touch the hearts, Lord, of those who have an unforgiving spirit. Show them your love, Lord, and cause them to want to rethink what it is that they're doing and give it over to you, Lord, because they may have a hard time doing the forgiving part. But, Lord, I know through experience, I can testify you freed me up, and I am forever grateful for that moment. Help them, Lord, to experience what I have experienced. Let us be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray with much thanksgiving. Amen. And glory to your name, O God. Amen. God bless you. Brother Rob?
Yes, yes. Thank you so much, Evangelist Cheryl, for tonight's word. And, you know, we pray that, you know, all the energy and the strength and conviction of your words get poured back into you, some tenfold, some hundredfold, some 1,000-fold, some 110,000-fold, that is restored back into you, and you know, restore you back into glory, onto which the word was poured out from you. We just thank you so much, and we just thank you for honoring God and bringing out his word tonight and a message for someone. And even, like you said, even if it was for yourself, it was just a message for someone, and we just thank God. And that's what we do this for every night here at Purpose Kingdom Network. We want to honor and glorify his word and magnify the glory of the grace and mercy that he bestowed upon us. And we're just so thankful. We're grateful for that, Evangelist Cheryl, for doing that for us tonight. Okay, and once again, this is the last seven-word revival, and we're in Revival Week here at Purpose Kingdom Network, where we are in revival, and we are giving that. This is the first word for the night, and it was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And it's brought forth by Evangelist Cheryl Johnson. And while we're on the topic of Evangelist Cheryl Johnson, Evangelist Cheryl Johnson also has her own ministry, and she's also president and founder of Women in the Word Ministry, which is located in Battle Kenwood. And, if you know, correct me if I'm wrong at anything I'm saying, Evangelist Cheryl. So this ministry was established in 1999 to right now. And if you want to hear more from Evangelist Cheryl, you can contact her P.O. Box 282 Fowler, PA, 19004. All right, and tomorrow's word will be brought by Minister Arthenius Colvin. And the word is going to be, today shall thou be with me in paradise. Okay, and we just thank each and every one of you for participating in tonight's show, and hopefully you will rejoin us. All of our shows during our revival is going to start at 8:30 p.m. So with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you rejoin us tomorrow evening at 8:30. And our speaker is going to be Minister Arthenius Colvin. And we thank you so much. And one more thing, Evangelist Cheryl, before you go, can you just give us a word in prayer before we depart tonight?
Yes, yes. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for using me for your glory, Lord. Thank you for your words that went forth, Lord, and that they would fall on good ground. Thank you, Lord, for the necessity to learn forgiveness, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be able to come to you to ask you for help, to help us to forgive those who have offended us. And thank you, Lord, for allowing your kindness and your compassion and your forgiveness to flow through us as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing in our lives and what you intend to continue to do, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our downsettings and our uprisings and how you know our thoughts are far off. And thank you, Lord, for being Lord of our life, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being that kind of God who cares about us, who sits high and looks low and very concerned about every facet of our life. Thank you, Lord, for molding us and reshaping us into the image of your Son. Thank you, Lord, for everything and all that you are yet doing in our lives, going to do in our lives, and have already done in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you for being God and God all by yourself. Continue to bless this ministry, Lord, Purpose Kingdom Network, Lord, and all those that are connected with it, Lord. Continue to bless the speakers that are coming after me, Lord, and all the programs, Lord, that you have lined up. Thank you, Lord, for the vision that you gave Pastor Toy and Brother Rob, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for all of those who work behind the scene and allow these things to happen. But most of all, we thank you for being God, allowing your word to go forth and to minister to the hearer, that we might be the people that you have called us to be. Thank you, Lord, for your word going forth that will captivate those that don't even know you and draw them unto yourself. Thank you, Lord, for being that kind of God. And for that, Lord, we give you honor, we give you glory, and we give you praise, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Please rejoin us tomorrow evening. To God be all the glory. Tomorrow evening at 8:30 p.m. To God be all the glory. Good night, and God bless everyone.
Jesus led.
He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me. I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
Save me.